Let me see if I can remember how to do this. I walked in the studio today. Dave said, it's been like a month and a half since we've actually been here together. It goes back to him getting married. And then, of course, you had Christmas and New Year's and then the blizzard. And then last weekend we were down in Anderson at the Southeastern High School bass class. So, yeah, it's been a while since I've sat here on a Saturday afternoon. It feels good to be back in the studio. And, of course, you're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. I'll be with you for the next hour. And, all right, everybody be honest. How many of you are still in sweatpants and T-shirts and haven't left the house this morning? You know, I'm not going to tell you what time I got up this morning. It's pretty bad. But, wow, just rainy days. You just want to stay inside and don't do a thing. Of course, in my younger years, I'd been out. Who knows, who knows what else outside, but these days it's a little different. And speaking of the blizzard, there was a funny one going around, if you're on the internet at all, last week after. It says, it's got a picture of the Welcome to South Carolina sign, you know, smiling faces, beautiful places, and says, where frostbite and sunburn in the same week are a very real possibility. Gosh, I love my state. There have been times in my life I wanted to move somewhere else, but I can't do it. If you want to, it's going to be a full show today. If you've got something you want to text in or you want to call in and see if we've got time for you, those numbers are 877-235-9405. Don't give those out enough. But it's going to be pretty full today. We're going to talk to Captain Cephas McCray, from Nuts and Bolts of Fishing. They're having a, I don't like runtime errors on my computer. Sorry. Okay. It's gone. He is bringing the springtime striper strategies to the Anderson Civic Center next Sunday. And he's going to come on the show to talk to us a little bit. And we're going to check in with Anthony Gagliardi, FLW Pro, who is currently down on Lake Okeechobee in Florida. He's getting ready to start up the season, which will start in, 2 weeks from today, I believe, or 2 weeks from Thursday, over on the Big G, Lake Gunnersville. So it's going to be a busy one, but, hey, if you got something you want to say, text it in. I'll try to get it in. If we got some downtime towards the end of the show, feel free to call in. And I'm going to have to be better about this year. You know, you go through the holidays and I sit down and say, okay, what am I going to change this year? What am I going to do different? And I don't think I'm going to change anything wholesale. I kind of like the, you never know what you're going to get when you tune into the show scheduling. Whereas if you had a certain segment this week, and I'm just going to leave it the same. I enjoyed doing it the way it is. Most everybody I talk to enjoys it too. And for those of you listening, I appreciate those that listen. And if you got some ideas, send them my way. I'm always open to new ideas. But, this year, my friends down in Anderson have, came to me and wanted to be a part of the show. So they're going to sponsor the calendar every week. And that's what I'm going to have to be better at this year, is making sure I do that calendar every week. But the calendar from now is going to be brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pond Events and Green Pond Landing and Event Center. Sam, I'll have to get that better too. I appreciate them coming on and being part of the show as sponsor. And there's always something going on in Anderson County around Lake Hartwell. And there's going to be more going on. I can't tell you about that, but I'll tease you. There's going to be some things coming to Anderson that are going to be great. Starting out with Nuts and Bolts of Fishing striper strategies next weekend. So anyway, if you're looking for something to do today, got a few hours on your hands. You know, the Shallow Water Expo is in Charleston this weekend. Probably too late for you to get there today, but they are open tomorrow. And I was trying to see who's on the, have some fly tying, soft plastic profiles with C.A. Richardson. Mark Nichols is going to teach a seminar. You know, Mark Nichols of DOA is going to be on tomorrow at 11:30. So if you're in the mood to drive to Charleston, you can get down there and still catch part of the Shallow Water Expo. That's at the Omar Shrine Temple there in Mount Pleasant. Last week, which was man, I tell you, when we stuck together last week's show, we recorded several segments and then we came in and, okay, we got to put them all together and didn't realize how long people had talked. And Angelo was like, I need about 10 seconds. That's all I need, 10 seconds. So we got that in. But if you listened last week, you heard Joe Albee from Carolina Outdoor Journal talking about the Green Carolina Outdoor Expo in Greenville, North Carolina, not South Carolina, but Greenville, North Carolina. That's the 27th, 28th, 29th at the Greenville Convention Center. And I look here, you know, Rick Counts from QDMA is going to be there. Mark Nichols from DOA Lures is going to be there. They've got a whole list of other seminars going to be going on all weekend. So I know it's a haul from the upstate of South Carolina, but hey, when these things are this close, you better go take advantage of them because they don't come around often. And if you got friends over in the, you know, the Florence section, Lancaster County and over there, let them know what's going on because it's only about 2 hours from there. I'm seriously thinking about making the trip next Friday so I can just see what it's all about. But that's going on next weekend. Something else you can get in trouble doing. Boat show next weekend, right here in Greenville at the TD Convention Center. I believe it starts Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And our good friend Casey Ashley, who is a Bass Elite, you know, classic champion from Lake Hartwell in 2015, is going to be there. He's going to be there from Saturday at 10 to 9. That's the 28th, and then Sunday 12 to 6, the 29th. So if you're out and about, want to look at a new bass boat, pontoon boats, you know, the more you get out there and look at some of those pontoon boats, boy, they look awfully nice. In fact, a friend of mine in down on Lake Murray, Ellie Jones, manages Drear Island. You know, he sold his little Ancona flats boat, bought him a pontoon boat, and has got it set up for a striper slayer. So, you know, there are all sorts of boats out there, jet skis. And Casey will be there 10 to 9 and 12 to 6 next weekend. We'll have to go out there and say hello to Casey. The Wabdo Creek Cleanup. Here's a good one for you. Down in, join Blue Way Adventures in Wabdo Creek as we celebrate the 10th anniversary of the Francis Mary National Forest Cleanup. This annual event is a great way to give back to your community and help keep the river pristine. They're going to meet at 8 o'clock at the Denisee Rembert Landing at Wabdo Creek, Monk's Corner, and launch by 8:30. They can clean up the river, free lunch afterwards provided by Palmetto Pride at Francis Mary and Ranger District, where we'll join other cleanup teams to celebrate. Bring your own kayak or get a free one from Blue Way Adventures. Sign up early, and, you know, there's only a limited number of kayaks available. Gloves and trash bags will be provided. So to sign up, reserve a kayak, call 843-697-2812 or email deb@blueayadventures.com. Just an opportunity for you to get out there and keep everything nice and clean in the outdoors. The Cabela's Lake Hartwell Early Bird Challenge coming up February 19th. This is Lake Hartwell, Sunday, February 19th. Registration is 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Cabela's in Greenville on Saturday, the 18th. They're going to use Green Pond Landing, 7 o'clock Sunday morning and till 3 o'clock, and then that's where the weigh-in will be. This is Student Angler Federation tournament sponsored by Cabela's. The Student Angler Federation membership includes both the TBF and the FLW membership, plus a digital subscription to the FLW Bass Fishing Magazine. So, you know, we had a great time with the kids last weekend in Anderson. I'll try to talk a little bit more about that at the end of the show. Boy, did we learn a lot. From our friends over at, at Set Goals at Glendale Outdoor Leadership over there on the other side of Spartanburg, the Solo Wilderness First Aid Kit. First aid course, February 25th and 26th. It's a 16-hour class. It's designed for the outdoor enthusiast or the trip leader who wants a basic level of first aid training for short trips with family, friends, and outdoor groups. The course covers topics ranging from injury preparation and prevention to assessment and treatment. You can, a comprehensive list of topics covered in the course is available at southeasternwildernessmedicine.com and find the tab for wilderness first aid. This is a good one. It's one I've always kind of wanted to do, but just never had 2 days to donate. So there again, just a few things. And don't forget the springtime striper strategies next weekend. Just a few things, happening across the state that you can, you know, you don't have to look for. There's so much more going out every weekend. You know, it's hard to narrow down a list, but we will every week here on Woods and Water, South Carolina. So hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Captain Cephas McCray and something else you can get involved in, striper fishing. We'll be back on the other side. Woods and Water, South Carolina. As I promised you before, we're going to talk to Captain Cephas McCray. And if you go to the website, which is www.nutsandboltsfishing.com, one of his, always try to do a little research, and this came up in a short while, but I got in a little bit of time behind the computer. It says, we strive to provide practical, real-world information people can use the next time they're on the water, and we do it with a smile. Captain McCray, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Good afternoon to you, Sir Roger. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. A little wet out there, but other than that, I'm all right.
I'm just now getting dried out. I actually fished this morning in the rain, and, you know, of course, the fish don't care because they're already wet.
Hey, I've heard that before.
Exactly, yeah. But we had a good time in the rain, and there was one nice little clap of thunder that ran us off this morning. I'm up here in Blue Ridge, Georgia.
Okay.
And we fished the Pecola and caught some nice trout this morning. Here it is, springtime in January. My goodness, I was expecting to see the dogwoods blooming.
Yeah, well, you give a couple more days of this, you might see them. It always happens to the dogwoods and the peach trees. They always bloom out early, and we get that cold snap in March, and everybody complains about the shortage of peaches.
Exactly. So. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's, you know what? I'm not complaining about what's could be close to 70 degrees today.
Yep.
Because every day that you get to spend on the water, even if it's a wet one, it's still a fun day.
You better believe it. And like you said, you know, my grandniece tell me the fish don't care. They're already wet. I love that saying. You know, I got to ask you about Buck. And if you don't know, if you've never watched this show, it's on Sports South, Fox Sports South. It's the nuts and bolts of fishing. And anybody that's got a dog on board a boat is a friend of mine. So tell us how Buck's doing these days.
Buck is doing great today. I left him home between the sheets because, you know, when it starts to get a little chilly outside and wet, he would much rather stay on the bed than, you know, to be outside on the boat with me. Although, I will say, it is hard to keep him off the boat. As soon as I get my truck backed up anywhere close to it, he is right beside me, ready to get in the truck.
Oh, yeah.
That dog is a fishing dog.
That's sure. A good dog. Good dog. I like dogs like that. Of course, I like any dog pretty much. But, you know, dogs that like to get outdoors with me, I'm fine with, too. Well, look, you got a fishing show, and I'd like to take just a minute, introduce yourself. We've been kind of running on here. But just a couple minutes, tell us who you are, and then how long you've been on the air with the show.
My goodness. Well, thank you for that. I think, of course, I lose track of time because you know, when you're having fun, you kind of, you know, the days kind of blend together.
Sure.
But I believe this is going to be close to our 10th year on the air.
Okay.
On Fox Sports South. Of course, we're, you know, got a huge web presence so that for folks that don't get Fox for one reason or another,
right,
they can come over to our website, nutsandboltsfishing.com, and look at any of our previous episodes, pro tips, or video recipes and things like that.
All right.
But really the premise for the show, and that's why it got its name, Nuts and Bolts, is we try our best to give people the nuts and bolts of what they need to know to be able to have a fun, safe, productive day on the water. Whether you're fishing the fresh or the salt, big boat, small boat, you know, one of our goals, again, and you said it, is really practical information that you can use the next time you're on the water, whether you're going after crappie or stripers or striped marlin, and show folks how they can do it themselves versus just sitting there on the couch for 30 minutes, which we certainly appreciate.
Sure.
But to then be able to take that information and go out and do it on their own and have a big time with their buddies, their families, their kids, and have a wonderful day on the water.
You know, I watch your show more than a few times, flipping channels, I'll see, and I say, hey, I know him, and we've run into each other several times at ICAST, some other places. But most of the times I see you're in the Carolinas, in Georgia. Is that primarily where you are? You going down into Florida sometimes?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
You know, the Roger, what I try to do, to some degree, kind of to sort of go where the fish are at. A lot of folks, including myself, certainly love to fish in, you know, just azure blue water or gin clear water. And while I was raised in North Carolina, so I love fishing, you know, the Carolina reservoirs as well as the Carolina coast. But there's something magical about being able to see, you know, a speckled trout in 3 feet of water come up and actually take your bait.
Oh, yeah.
And Florida is one of those places that you can fish 364 days a year in. So, yeah, we travel from Virginia to the Keys and from the Keys to Texas.
Okay.
But because I live in Atlanta, that's home
okay.
now. And the places that are close by, you know, both you and I and for the majority of the folks that are listening, in about 4.5 hours of driving, you can be at the Salt.
Oh,
one
yeah.
way or the other, either to the East Coast or yep. down to the Gulf. And for a lot of us equally, especially in the Greenville area, the Anderson area, you know, you can be on the water in 20 minutes fishing Hartwell or Murray or Greenwood or Kiwi. And of course, for me down in Atlanta, you know, Lanier's very close by. So I don't really particularly favor one location over another. My goal is to show folks here's a place you can go and have a big time, whether it's Steinhatchee, Florida, Charleston, South Carolina, or Lake Hartwell, Georgia.
There you go. Well, I enjoy it when I watch it. It's, I don't watch a whole lot of outdoor TV. Just a quirk, I guess.
You know, it's kind of crazy, Roger. And I don't know who had the gray matter to figure this out, but to put outdoor programming on Saturday mornings when everybody else is already in the woods or on the water anyhow, you know, you kind of go duh, but I guess the logic was for folks that can't be in the woods
right.
or be on the water
right.
and they want to get their fishing fix or their turkey hunting fix.
Yeah.
Then they sit there on the couch for 30 minutes and enjoy at least vicariously
sure.
the pursuit on television.
That's true. I got that question a lot when I started this radio show at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, don't you want to be on 7 o'clock? I'm like, no, because most of the time I'm going to try to be out there at 7 o'clock. And,
yeah.
And you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, most hunters come home, they eat lunch, take a nap, get showered up, and are getting ready to go somewhere this Saturday night or whatever. And you know, this
sure.
time just works. So. Mm-hmm. Well, look, we got about 5 minutes. Tell us about
okay.
the Nuts and Bolts Striper Strategy Seminar.
All right. This is a seminar series we started a couple of years ago. We're kicking off the 2017 series in Anderson at the Civic Center. We're going to focus on springtime striper fishing strategies
okay.
and focus specifically on Lake Hartwell. We've got myself, I'll be talking about getting the most out of your electronics, understanding all the buttons that are on your sonar, and more importantly, how to interpret and understand what you're seeing on the screen.
Sure.
Then we'll transition to Captain Mac Farr, who is Lake Lanier's sure enough, bona fide striper guru.
Okay.
He'll talk about the tackle, the tactics, everything from planer boards to down lines to free lines, you know, what you need to have on the boat and how you need to rig it in order to catch these line side crazy fish.
Okay.
And then from there, we've got a Lake Hartwell striper guru, Nathan Key, who probably spends, I would say, about 366 days a year on Lake Hartwell. The guy knows the stuff. He
okay.
knows where the fish are at. I think he has most of them named already.
Right.
So what Nathan will provide is now that you've understood, you know, how to find them, Mike will tell you how to catch them. Nathan is going to tell you where to catch them specifically, not just this, oh, well, they're on the north end of the lake or on this. No. Go into this, you know, this time of year when the water
right.
temperature is this, if the wind's blowing here, go here. So this is really, truly practical information that folks can really use and go, hey, this is where I need to be. Because that can be one of, I'm sure you know, one of the most frustrating things on the planet is you know you're doing everything right. Unfortunately, you're just fishing in a desert.
You hear people talk about eliminating unproductive water. That is my toughest part. It all looks good to me. It's all wet, right? You fish where it's wet.
From the surface, it does look pretty much the same.
Sure.
I'll say this. A fellow that was a lot smarter than me one time told me this, and it just hit home that 90% of the fish you want to catch are in 10% of the water at any given time. And so the key is knowing where that 10% of the water is at and dropping a bait down. So this is good stuff. We're going to the attendance we're keeping pretty small. We're limiting
okay.
the number of seats because at the end of everything, you'll have a Q&A panel discussion where folks can ask, you know, questions either that that we left unanswered for you know, unintentionally or specific things that they want to know, you know, for their particular fishing style or the tactics that they use. So I have plenty of time for that while we're eating a wonderful barbecue meal. It cranks up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon next Sunday, the 29th. It will go till about 7. We've never run anybody off, so if it goes for 30 minutes longer or whatever, it's hard to get me to quit talking anyhow.
Sure. Yeah, I understand that one. I understand that one. Well, you got some great sponsors. Tell us a few of the sponsors who help you put this thing on.
We have had the wonderful good fortune of being associated with Everglades Boats, with Honda Marine, with Captain Max Tackle, of course, the Navico folks. I run Simrad on my boat, which is, you know, the twin brother of Lowrance.
Right.
We've got Power Pole, among others, Project X Tackle. And a lot of the stuff, I'll say this, the sponsors that we have are products and things that not only use, but we believe in because they work.
Okay.
And that's what everybody wants to know is not just this flashy lure that looks cool because you and I, again, both know that lures catch as many anglers as they do fish.
More anglers.
right. But we spend a lot of time really, not just me, but the guides that I fish with, the pros, as well as weekend warriors, putting these products out for beta testing before we ever bring them to market to ensure that, you know, not every lure is going to catch every fish every time, but that the odds are in your favor.
Well, you can catch a show on Fox Sports South. It's the Nuts and Bolts of Fishing. Captain McCray, thank you for being on the show. I hope your seminar goes well, and I'll run into you again somewhere.
I wish you'd come out and play with us next weekend. Hope to see you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, there you go. I often liken striper fishing to just oversized crappie fishing. The bait's bigger, the fish are bigger. Theory's the same. Hang on through the break. We'll talk to Anthony Gagliardi on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you'll make plans to, if you like striper fishing or want to know more about it, go to Nuts and Bolts Fishing and check out the series they've got going on. Anderson was the only one I looked at, but I'm sure they've got some more. And learn how to either striper fish or striper fish better. It's always fun to catch up with, and we're both so busy we don't have time to do it like we used to, but we need to do better at it. But my buddy and Anthony Gagliardi, FLW Pro and 2014 Cup champions on the phone with me. Hey, Anthony, how are you?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Let's see. You were on the Big G Gunnersville last week. You're on the Big O Okeechobee this week. Trying to get in a little practice before the season starts?
I am trying to get a little prepared. Got to get back into the swing of things. I'm out of, as they say, fishing shape. So I wanted to get out to an early start this year and I went to Gunnersville for a weekend. I actually came down to Harris Chain for okay. a day on the way down here to Gunnersville, or on the way to Okeechobee. And now, like I said, I'm down here at Okeechobee, where it's nice and warm and sunny right now.
Yeah, I'm sure. What's it, about 78 and just as bright as it can be?
Yeah, we're in the 80s. Yeah, we're
80s.
In the 80s today.
Wow. Well, that you have gone through, we talked just a little bit the other day, and you have gone through some wholesale changes over there at Anthony Gagliardi Fishing. Tell us about a few of the changes this year.
Yeah, I have for sure. You know, the biggest one by far is my boat. You know, I've been with Ranger since I started my professional career, even before that, and I made a switch this year and went with a local company out of Newberry, Falcon Boats, and I've not been happier about being in a new boat in a long time. You know, the way I have been this one since I got it a couple of weeks ago, it's been a great move so far for me, and I know it will be down the road for sure. But just the guys there are just so good to work with, and the boat is everything that I could have hoped could have been. And just the fact that it's a local South Carolina company was really important to me, and really made it in the end a no-brainer decision for me to make the move.
Speaking of, what do you look for in a boat? When you're looking for a tournament series boat, what are things that just make it work for you?
Yeah, first and foremost, I mean, aside from what a lot of guys think that we look for, I look for fishability. You know, that's really important to us because we spend more time on the trolling motor of that boat fishing, maintaining our catch and all that kind of stuff, tackle organization. To me, that I put that almost at the forefront. You know, a lot of guys, you know, they think that everybody, all the bass fishing, are all about speed.
Right.
Speed is just a bonus to me. You know, I don't want a slow boat by any means because we do need to, you know, there is something to be said about maximizing our time on the water. So sure. A lot of times we're making long runs. So if we can, you know, if we can consistently run 4 or 5 miles an hour faster, I mean, that can equate to a lot of cast, you know, extra cast that we can make in a day, which are important. But handling and rough water performance are way up there, in my opinion, because we take these boats where bass fishermen really weren't, you know, designed to go. You know, we go to the Great Lakes and we go to Lake Champlain, and they have to be able to withstand, I mean, a lot of brutal conditions that we put them through. And so that's another thing that factors into my decision. But, and that's one of the reasons that this boat, was so intriguing to me in the beginning, because, the guys at Falcon have a ton of bass boat experience, but they also have a lot of, saltwater knowledge that they've drawn from. And so they've been in the saltwater side of things. So this boat was actually, in a way designed off of some saltwater concepts, like bay boat concepts.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons why it handles rough water so well. So yeah, I mean, that's the rough water capabilities and, you know, just the handling of the boat and how the boat floats. You know, that's one thing that a lot of people don't really think about, but I like the boat that's going to float level, track straight, you know, while I'm on the trolling motor.
Sure.
and track straight as the wind's pushing as well. So there's a lot of little things like that, a lot of people may or may not think about, but, you know, they're going to go into what really makes a bass boat, you know, a complete boat.
And you changed from lower, you're a Garmin Pro now?
Yeah, I did. I switched from Humbird to Garmin, and, you know, I'm still learning. I'm learning my Garmin's right now. I really, really like them. The images are extremely clear, extremely crisp. The units are easy to use. I can't wait to, they have this thing called Panoptics. I don't know if you're familiar with, and I don't have it on my mind yet. The Garmin guy actually wants to physically install it himself. He didn't want me to do it for some reason. I don't know why he wouldn't trust me, but, he wants to put it on himself.
Yeah.
And it really lets you see, just to give you an example of what it could do, you can throw a swim bait or a spinner bait out in front of your boat. And as long as your trolling motor's pointing at it where that sonar is looking at, you can see your bait coming back to the boat.
Wow.
If there was a fish that was behind it or below it, you can actually see that fish on your screen as he comes and approaches your bait before you get a bite. So really, really cool technology, that'll really, really pay off in a lot of circumstances. So I can't wait to get that added to my Garmin system as well.
That's incredible where electronics
have
gone.
Yeah, there's been several others too, and several other changes too.
Yeah.
I partnered up with Lake Murray Country.
Yep.
And you know Miriam down there.
Yes.
And that's kind of been, it's something that's been needed to happen for a while. You know, we've always worked closely together and done stuff for each other. And we just kind of made it an official partnership now. So I'm really excited about helping them out, you know, throughout the year, especially as we got the cup approaching again.
Yeah.
This summer on Lake Murray. So there's been a lot of changes. Power pole, switched to power pole this year, and it's just been a lot of good changes for me. I mean, a lot of times, not to say that, you know, things can get stale, but, you know, in this world, you do kind of get complacent and sometimes change is good. You know, it just kind of refreshes your, you know, just your enthusiasm for what you're doing. So I think that's kind of what's going on with me now. I'm excited to get the season started.
I see you still got the same rod company though.
Yeah. I can't shake that level rod company. Yeah. We're still going. And, I got a big box of rods down here that I got some guys that are wanting to buy some on the tour. So
good.
Yeah, we're still chugging along with the level rods.
And I love the wrap. I mean, that is just, you know, last year you were kind of never wrapped your boat and sometimes I had trouble finding, you know, this year I shouldn't have any trouble finding you out there on the water.
No, it's an extremely cool looking wrap. The Gap, you know, Swag Installs up in North Carolina, he did an exceptional job with it. I couldn't be more pleased with how the wrap turned out. And, you know, I got to be there and actually help him a little bit with it, which was, I don't know if he was really wanting me to help him with it, but I helped him with it a little bit. And it was kind of fun for me to see how, you know, see that process. I'd only seen one done in the past, but I hadn't really paid as much attention as I did this time, and it was just really neat. You know, seeing the amount of detail that goes into it to get it just right, which he did. He did get this wrap just right.
Well, you stopped at Gunnersville and fished a little bit. What do you think about starting off February? Two short weeks now on Lake Gunnersville. What's it going to be like?
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably going to be good. I mean, anytime you go to Gunnersville, you stand a chance that there's going to be a lot of fish caught, a lot of big fish caught. I will say that I think the lake is nowhere near where it normally is for this time of year as far as water temperature and the grass. And the grass is really, it's tall right now. I think the mild winter that they had, it didn't kill off a lot of that grass like it might normally would. I'm sure there's a lot of the shad in North, you'd have a lot of shad that would normally die. I don't think there was a die from in that regard. So I don't know, it's possible. You know, they were forecasting after I left, they were forecasting a lot of mild weather, you know, that next 8 or 10 days.
Right.
And we did have a cold front, it looked like, coming in close to the start of practice. But I think the fish are probably going to be shallow. I mean, knowing what I know about that lake and, you know, looking at the temperatures, they're probably going to start to, you know, have that spawn on their mind, and they're going to start moving up and staging. So I think it'll be a shallow event for the most part. But, yeah, I imagine there's going to be a lot of big fish caught.
And you're going from there to, I mean, the opens on Harris Chain going right now, and they're weighed in 20, 21 pounds for those guys that made it to the top 12. So you're going from a grass lake on Gunnersville. You do have a stop out in Texas, and then you're going to be in Florida.
Right.
Are those fish, I mean, I see some of those guys down there are targeting fish up shallow. Is that going to still play in when y'all are there in March?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it will. I mean, obviously down here, there's not much deep water to be found down here in Florida, but I mean, I think that there might not be as many fish spawning as there probably would have been, you know, if they had had a normal winter too. They just haven't had any cold weather, and those fish have just, they've been spawning out for a month, probably even at the Harris Chain.
Wow.
Which is a little, I think that's a little abnormal for, you know, going that far north in Florida.
Okay.
Once you start getting up and, you know, around that Orlando area and all that stuff there, they tend to follow more of a spawning season like we see in South Carolina. It just starts a little bit earlier, you know, it starts most of the time in February, but down here at Okeechobee, they spawn 12 months out of the year. I mean, there's always fish spawning somewhere on the lake, but you know, as you move just a little bit north, they start to get more in that true season like what we experienced back in South Carolina. But, yeah, I mean, there'll be some still. I would imagine there'll probably still be some, but for the most part, I think the majority of the waves are probably going to have come and gone, and there'll still be fish shallow to be caught, but I think it'll be a more of a post-spawn type bite. So there may be a little bit offshore, you know, some offshore fish.
Okay.
You know, when I say offshore fish down there, that still means 3, 4, 5 foot.
Sure. Well, I can't let you get out of here without asking you about the cup in August. I mean, I'm sure it's not.
I mean,
is it on your radar this early in the season?
Well, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely on my radar. Not as far as preparation or anything like that for it, but it's just, you know, it's a driving factor right now as far as me staying focused and, you know, trying to make sure that I do everything I can to give myself a shot to make it again. So, you know, I'm not putting any, you know, I'm going to put the horse before the cart before the horse or anything like that, which I don't ever tend to do that anyway.
Right.
But, you know, it is right there. I mean, it's the carrot dangling in front of me, and that's what's going to keep me, you know, keep me motivated and keep me focused this year to, you know, just make sure that I can do everything I can, make sure that lock master doesn't, you know, keep us from locking down from Wilson Lake into Pickwick or something like that. But everything within my power, I want to make sure I try to give myself the best shot to make
it. Well, you know, you did the test run with the boat and everything worked fine there, so that oughtn't to be a problem. And, you know, I know Garmin's a great electronics company. You still running your Evinrude G2?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Still running, and that motor is such a, that combination is such a great, it's a great combination. It's just sporty. And that's one thing that I've told people, it's not something that I didn't like about my Ranger. I just found a situation that was better.
Sure.
And the boat performs like I need it to perform. And there's a lot of things that, you know, that I just flat out do like better about this Falcon. It's more of a performance oriented boat in my opinion. And I think it's a better rough water riding boat. But yeah, I mean, the boat's tested. You know, I knew before I made the switch. Before I made the switch, that was not going to be an issue.
Okay.
You know? And once I rode in their boats for the first time and just got to know him, my confidence was, you know, sky high. I mean, yeah. I knew that the boat was everything that I needed and more. And so that's not a, we're feeling the boat out or anything right now, you know, so that's out of my mind. And, good. You know, now I'm focused on trying to catch these little fish down here, you know, to make it. But yeah, we're good to go there. That combination of G2 and Falcon are pretty special.
What kind of finishes is it going to take to make it into the cup this year? Average finish. If you had to pick, where are you going to finish?
You got to average 50th.
Okay.
You know, you need to average a check. That's about what it usually boils down to. You know, there's some, I used to know the point totals off the top of my head, but with them adding a tournament this year, that could change it a little bit.
Okay.
You know, it might change a little bit. Your average is probably still going to, you know, it's probably still going to be the same, but okay. You do have a little more room for error when they add a tournament like that, because you can have, you know, if you do have a bad one, you got an extra tournament to have a good one and kind of, and make that up. So I like the fact that they added one, just because the way I've tended to fish over my career, you know, I've tended to be consistent. Okay. And the more tournaments they have and the more opportunities I have, you know, to be consistent, I just kind of, I think it plays in my favor a little bit. So I'm hoping that, you know, hoping that it'll all work out come August.
Yeah, I hope so too. I really hope so. bringing it back to South Carolina and you being on your home lake again, just, boy, the possibilities are endless. But we'll take it one tournament at a time, and we'll try to check in with you and get updates as the year goes on, and have fun in Florida, and safe travels back home.
All right. Sounds good, Roger. Right. I appreciate your time.
Take care of yourself, Anthony. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Yes. Yeah. The possibilities are endless with that one. We still have not had a two-time FLW Cup champion, and to do it, oh man, do you even think about doing it twice on your home lake? Pretty cool. All right, hang on. Be back to finish up the show on the other side of the break.
When I walk through that door tonight, yeah.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you've enjoyed so far. Got a, you know, I don't know. I guess with the internet these days, things are so much more, the opportunities are there, and they weren't there when we were growing up, or I don't know where I would have ended up. And two of those opportunities that I've seen come across here the last few weeks, I'd like to get out there. One's from the U.S. Forest Service, the Francis Marion and Sumter National Forests, dated January 19th. The USDA Forest Service Ennery Ranger District is seeking young men and women ages 15 to 18 who are interested in summer employment with the USDA Forest Service and the Youth Conservation Corps. Crew members will earn minimum wage, which is $7.25 an hour, working 40 hours per week for 8 weeks, June the 11th through August the 5th of 2017. The YCC program teaches young adults about the forest environment by engaging them in the management of its natural resources. Students gain hands-on experience in trail building, campground maintenance and renovation, noxious weed removal, and planting projects. These and other projects all serve to benefit the forest and its ecosystems. It's a great introduction for kids interested in pursuing a natural resources career. I love this. This is, you know, snowflakes are melting all over the country these days with what happened yesterday, but this is a great one. Applicants must be prepared for hard physical work in an outdoor environment under potentially adverse weather conditions and rough terrain. Crew members are responsible for their own daily transportation to the Ennery District office. Each participant must provide his or her own work boots, proper work clothes, a backpack, and a daily lunch. And USFS will provide project tools and transportation to and from project work sites each morning. Just a great opportunity. If you're interested, applications must be submitted in hard copy by April the 24th, 2017, emails will not be accepted. Interested persons may pick up an application from the guidance counselor at local high schools in Union, Newberry, Chester, Lawrence, and Fairfield counties. The Ennery office district will also have applications available. That office is at 20 Work Center Road in Whitmire, South Carolina. The telephone number, if you're interested, 803-276-4810. What an opportunity, man. This is just not fair. And here's the other one. This is another one I think would be a fun one. This is from the Department of Natural Resources, South Carolina Coastal Resources. We're hiring sea turtle positions for the summer of 2017. Now, if you don't like working in the woods, you can get down and work at the beach. We're currently hiring for 5 seasonal paid positions and 1 unpaid internship for the 27 sea turtle season in South Carolina. If you're interested, applications and questions can be directed to the Sea Turtle Program Coordinator, Michelle Pate, at seaturtles@dnr.sc.gov. And it goes on to say the right candidate for each of these positions doesn't mind early mornings and physically demanding work in hot, humid, and buggy conditions. The hours can be odd, the environment challenging, and the location remote, but technicians are rewarded with a summer of sunrises and independent hands-on field work documenting the deaths of threatened and endangered sea turtles. And I just took off a little bit, and I mean, one of them's at the Tom Yawkey Wildlife Preserve, Wildlife Center in Georgetown County. And the job is the employee will manage nests for threatened loggerhead sea turtles on South and Sand Islands, barrier islands on the coast of South Carolina. Sea turtle research dates back to the 1960s. The center is 24,000 acres, very limited boat access. There's a rustic communal house with a living area and a small kitchen provided. Several DNR officers and their staff and family live on the island. But the duties, you'll attend a training session for sea turtle nest management April 29th. You'll patrol the 4-mile undeveloped beach on South Island at dawn 7 days a week for signs of sea turtle nesting activity from the previous night. You will kayak to an adjacent sand island and patrol the 3-mile beach for nesting activity. Verify all nesting crawls, relocate nests if necessary, monitor nests throughout their incubation and maintain identification flags. Screen all nests to prevent predation. Work as part of the team to patrol the beach to discourage predation of sea turtle nests. Operate a 4-wheel drive truck and an ATV for transportation. Paddle a kayak up to 50 yards from one island to the next. Conduct inventories after hatchlings emerge to determine hatchling results. Collect an eggshell from each nest and properly store the DNA research. Just goes on and on and on. But, you know, $10 an hour, 40 hours a week, and there's 5 of them. So if that's up your alley, I would encourage you to look into either one of them. Boy, what a way to spend the summer. News from the Department of Natural Resources, you know, the Sassafras Mountain fire this past October, November was pretty bad. But the Foothills Trail from Sassafras Mountain to Table Rock State Park is open again. It's after hundreds of man hours by Foothills Trail Conference volunteers and South Carolina State Park Service personnel to clear trails damaged and blocked by the Pinnacle Mountain Fire. I'm sorry, it was not the Sassafras Mountain Fire. It was the Pinnacle Mountain Fire. Within Table Rock State Park are now safe and open to the public. The 9.7-mile section of the Foothills Trail between Sassafras and Table Rock State Park is now completely open for the first time since the fire began in November 2016. Some maintenance activity is still taking place on the trail, but it's now open to hikers and backpackers. So get out there and go hiking. And, yes, we inaugurated a 45th president yesterday, and I'm going to, you know, politics aside, there are some big issues as far as management of our natural resources, public lands, Second Amendment, which are all important to outdoorsmen, whether you are a hiker, camper, hunter, target shooter, whatever. Not for just for us, but for future generations. You know, I spend a heck of a lot of time outdoors. But I'm more worried about my kids and the time they're going to get to spend outdoors and where they'll be able to access the outdoors and their kids. It's important to, you know, you can never put off conservation and maintaining those public lands or areas to go. You just can't put them off. So there's a few stories out there, and I'll start this one off about what you can expect from the Trump administration and who he's picking. He has tapped former Governor Sonny Perdue for the Secretary of Agriculture. And this is from the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership from their blog. You can check them out at trcp.org. The hunting and fishing community recognizes the potential for collaboration and compromise in President-elect Trump's pick for Secretary of Agriculture announced today. And this was January 19th. An avid sportsman, former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue has the kind of personal and policy experience that is likely to benefit the nation's farmers and ranchers as well as fish and wildlife habitat on private and public lands. In Georgia, Purdue implemented the first comprehensive statewide land conservation plan, which included policy provisions aimed at improving wildlife habitat and boosting outdoor recreation opportunities. He also established a trust fund for the state to purchase conservation lands and encouraged the donation of perpetual conservation easements through a new tax credit that successfully conserved more than 185,000 acres in just 4 years. We're happy to see a true sportsman as a candidate for this position, especially one who worked to create a culture of conservation during his tenure as governor, says Whit Fosberg, who's president and CEO of the TRCP. It's clear to us that where private lands dominate the landscape, local hunters and anglers track and care deeply about ag policy and its impacts on fish, wildlife, and water quality. They can feel optimistic that Purdue is up to the task of serving rural communities and our natural resources well. So, looks like we've got a good person in there that will look out for the interest of not only hunters and fishermen, but outdoorsmen and conservationists, no matter what path you choose to walk. And that's just a little bit of what's going on. I mean, it's feels good to be back here. It's and like I said, there's a lot of stuff coming this year. You know, you've got I missed ATA. I didn't go to SHOT this year. Had an opportunity to go. Well, we'll be at the Classic in Houston in March. And then you've got the Palmetto Sportsman Classic in March. You've got things going on through the summer, the FLW Cup in August. So make time now. Put it down on the calendar. Don't wait. I mean, I've got a calendar on my phone. I think there's six of them. Start marking off days now, because if you don't do it now, other stuff will come up and you won't have that time. So make the time to get out there today. Take some back roads when you can. South Carolina's a beautiful place. And as always, don't forget that camera. I'll see you here back next week on More Woods and Water, South Carolina.